As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks. It's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, Pilgrim. And there's a revolution in the air. Can't you smell it? Be a part of it. And welcome to our Tuesday, July the 19th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always lots of news. Well, maybe a little bit less of that today. Hard facts, certainly that. Workable solutions, when we can find them and where we can find them. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you most certainly are not alone, but you are definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to be part of that 512 conspiracy, or from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls will be welcomed. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net, bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, spit it out there, Willie. Fire up that chainsaw-like tongue. You, too, can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. A big shout-out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 16, and TalkStreamLive.com, all carrying the broadcast this morning, and I thank them for doing so. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Get your Sharpie out and write it on the refrigerator. And your calls are certainly welcome. Precious metals struggle to keep their earlier gains. Equities in the dollar down, oil up. That's the way it goes in the news basket this morning. News light, newsy news is kind of light today, so we're going to do very little news. The new world of Henry St. Simon, techno-totalitarianism, back into our study of business and other things. Well, we've got a lot on the deck for today. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Bound gold trading off $4.10, yet still above that $1,600 mark at $1,601 even. Silver this morning off 26 cents at $40.29. You got to love that silver at $40.29. Platinum off a buck at $1,770, and palladium off four at $790 a troy ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,597.80, which wouldn't be bad either, but at $1,611, oh baby, charting all kinds of highs here for a high. Anyway, your gold is up at $1,601. It's up $407.90 year to year for a 34.19% return on your investment. You're not going to find that at the local bank down on Main Street. London Gold Fix this morning. The boys in London set the price at $1,602. And, yeah, we're within a buck of that. The SPDR gold shares overnight, they like things. They're up. They added more. Added 13.33 metric tons to their electronic treasure chest, holding 1,249.34 metric tons this morning, valued at these spot prices at $1,601. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed down 95 at 12,386. The NASDAQ off 25 at 2765. And the S&P 500 off 11 at 1305. We'll be right back. Plenty to come. Stay tuned.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, July the 19th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Again, you can jump into our chat room at becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can call in throughout the broadcast at 866-841-1065. You know, we listened to the article or the advertisement there during the break about TrustedCoins.com. I remind you, just as a program note, tomorrow morning, first hour of the broadcast, I hope to have Ilya Zlobin from TrustedCoins.com on. He's going to explain all about these ancient coins, collectibles, you know. It could be a pretty interesting discussion. Look forward to that. Hope you'll join us tomorrow morning for Ilya Zlobin of TrustedCoins.com. Not really going to be an infomercial, but my golly, if the guy's going to support the network and he's got coins in his basket, I'll definitely talk to him, and I'm going to tomorrow morning. Hope you'll join us then. Back into our discussion. Once again, active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Found gold trading off $4.10 at 1601 even. Silver off 26 cents at 4029. Platinum off a buck at 1770. And palladium off $4 at $790 a troy ounce. So we went through the Dow Jones before. Let's drop down to the crude oil market. This morning up $1.36 at $97.29 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. The U.S. dollar index this morning off 26 basis points at 75.13. Of course, that impacts the foreign exchange rates, where this morning we find the Canadian loonie up 44 basis points, exchanging against the U.S. dollar at $1.04. The Mexican peso up 14 basis points at 0.14% at 9 cents each. That's 11.7068 pesos per dollar. Fill up your pockets with pesos, 9 cents a pop. Get them while they're hot. The euro this morning up 24 basis points at $1.42. The British pound up 34 basis points at $1.61. And a Swiss franc, stronger than ever, but off 33 basis points this morning at $1.22 U.S. The bond market this morning, the yield on your U.S. Treasuries bonded indebtedness at 0.36%, creeping back up a little bit. The 10-year yield is at 2.93, and the 30 is yielding 4.29%. The mortgage market this morning, continuing to attempt to entice people into the mortgage market. The national average for the 15-year fixed-rate mortgage moves down from 3.65% a month ago to 3.63% this morning. I'm telling you, it's giveaway prices there. Fire sale on 15-year mortgages at 30 this morning. Fixed-rate mortgage moves down from 4.49%. Excuse me. Going the other way, moves up from 4.49% to 4.50%. So don't bust your legs trying to get to the bank. Prime rate this morning, 3.25% and standing. Your gold to silver ratio, it's going to take you 39.74 ounces of silver to bring home 1 ounce of gold, if you can find anybody to sell you silver or gold. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Let's go into the market report a little bit further here and look at the economy calendar for today. A little bit of action happening. The Goldman store sales is out. Housing starts is out. Redbook is out. Tomorrow, the existing home sales report will be out. Petroleum status will be out. Thursday, jobless claims. And Bernanke speaks again. So, hey, we could be in for a great day on Thursday. Econoday continues to show no entries for Friday, July the 22nd. I guess that's just going to be a no-day day or something. Anyway, a no-news day. Well, maybe they'll have it open lines Friday. I don't know. Let's go to the report and look at it, see what we got. Housing market index this morning. Here's the report off of Econoday. Home builders report improvement in July, with the housing market index rising 2 points to 15 from an unusually depressed June. Well, what can I say? The month's gain is centered in expectations. Suddenly, expecting for future sales, expectations for future sales. Well, if there's no certainty, I guess we should have expectations, where the component jumped an extremely sharp 7 points to 22. Despite June's gain, the index has held within a depressed 3-point range for 9 of the last 10 months. And that's the way that one goes. Let's jump over here. Take a look at this one. Housing starts. Housing is continuing to move up from near rock bottom. I like the way these guys write. Housing starts jumped 14.6% in June, following no change in May, originally up 3.5%. June's annualized pace of 0.629 million units came in higher than the consensus projection for 0.57 million units. Well, anyway, by region, the boost is up in start, or boost in starts was led by a monthly 35.1% increase in the Northeast. Other regions also improved, where the Midwest up 25%. Of course, they're trying to rebuild Joplin. That might have something to do with it. The South trying to rebuild down there as well after the tornadoes, up 10%, in the West up 5.4%. Housing permits advanced 2.5%. Now that's the important number. Housing permits, that's the down the road view. All right, you have to take out your building permits in advance. Housing permits advanced 2.5% following an 8.2% surge in May. Overall permits stood at an annualized rate of 0.624 million units and are actually up to 6.7% on a year-ago basis. Whether the recent slow uptrend in starts continues will depend on whether the supply on the market comes down. Of course, we know that the supply on the market is not coming down. We read the article yesterday about the banks sitting on top of all of their empty foreclosures all over America. The ICSC Goldman store sales demand for seasonal and clearance goods continues to give a boost to retail sales this month. the blue light special, aisle 5. According to the ICSC, Goldman's same-store sales tally that rose 0.4% in the July 16th for very solid year-on-year growth of 4.5%, but the report sees the chance that growth may slow in the final 2 weeks. Well, it doesn't look too positive there, does it? Anyway, let's jump to the last one. Redbook, a slowdown in sales is what Redbook reports for the July 16th week, to a plus 3.8% year-on-year growth rate for same-store sales, which is down from 5% plus in the prior 2 weeks. The month-on-month pace, again, for the government's ex-auto, ex-gas category is turning negative to a minus 0.2%. Well, things are not looking too good. The report isn't jumping to any conclusions on this week's softening, saying that July is often a trendless transitional month with weekly results tied to each chain's promotional calendar. So that's their calendar. This is our Zolik, Robert. That would be Robert Zolik. What a guy this guy is. Truly a piece of work. Zolik criticizes the usurper's missed opportunity on trade talks. This one by Sandrine Rostello and Eric Martin, writing collaboratively for Bloomberg. World Bank President Robert Zolik criticized Barry the Usurper's administration for failing to provide leadership in what? The Doha Round. Now, many of you probably never heard of the Doha Round, and I don't doubt that you haven't. But it is important. They've been on it for years and years, haven't had it come around yet. But, of course, out of Davos, Switzerland, if you remember, when we reported on that, the Chinese minister there was being grilled in one of the panel discussions that it was up to China. It was going to be up to China to advance and accomplish the Doha Round, because if they didn't accomplish it now, it would probably be put off forever. Golf claps, as Doug Owen would say. So the Doha Round is kind of Doha.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So, again, as regards the Doha round from Robert Zoellick's commentary here, speaking at the World Trade Organization in Geneva yesterday, Zoellick said that the trade negotiators from key, quote-unquote key, rich and developing economies. Now, let's go ahead and list some of those key rich and developing economies. That'd be China, maybe South Korea. That wraps them up. Anyway, from key rich and developing economies, fell into tactical ploys, wasting the chance of an ambitious agreement. He questioned what the U.S. has gained with its negotiating tactics, including resistance to cuts in farm subsidies, which are now bound to happen because of efforts to narrow the budget deficit. Quote, it's a missed opportunity for a pro-growth strategy at a time when the U.S. and the world could use one. Zoellick, former trade representative under President George W. Bush, said in prepared remarks. Now, yes, somebody wrote it out for him, and he said it. And I believe it, and that's what it is. All right, let's go over here and look at this one. Israel, oh, brother, in the news again. Israelis forces board Gaza blockade boat after it refuses to change course. It's kind of a bit of peculiar grammar, but we'll take it the way it's written. Gwen Ackerman and Alsa Odenheimer, I don't imagine that either of them are truly Irish Catholic, writing this one, new news. Israeli troops boarded a ship that was trying to breach the country's blockade of the Gaza Strip after the vessel refused to change course, the army said. Naval officers told the Dignity, sailing under a French flag, that it should divert to Israel's Ashdod port or to Egypt. An Israeli army spokesman said, speaking anonymously, according to military regulation, the ship will now be brought to Ashdod, the Israeli army said in a statement. There were no reports of injuries. The boat's carrying 10 activists plus crew members, according to the organizers of what was intended to have been a larger flotilla. Greek authorities have forbidden 7 of the flotilla's other vessels from departing its ports, saying they lack proper safety equipment. Got to have more life jackets, boys. And AK-47s. A previous flotilla's attempt to arrive in the Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip by sea ended in violence on May the 31st last year when the Israeli naval commandos dropped from helicopters onto the deck of the Mavi Marmara, part of a six-boat convoy, and opened fire. I just love these Israelis. Man, what dignitaries, diplomats. In accordance with government directives, after all diplomatic channels have been exhausted and continuous calls to the vessel had been ignored, the Navy boarded the ship in an effort to stop it from breaking the maritime security blockade. Passengers will be questioned upon arrival at Israel's Ashdod port, it said. The flotilla's organizers say the blockade is illegal under international law and causing unnecessary hardship for Gaza Palestinians' population. The Israeli government says sufficient. Look it up in your dictionary. That's enough. Enough. Okay? See, the Israeli government says they have enough goods to reach Gaza through its border crossings, and it needs the naval blockade to prevent arms smuggling to Hamas, the Islamic movement that is classified as a terrorist organization by Israel. Of course, we all know that Israel is a terrorist nation. Enough goods arrive in Gaza. I imagine that the people that live there in that open-air prison would have different sentiments. Bowdoin says no need for the SAT while buying College Board scores. What's this all about? Well, Janet Lauren writing this one for Bloomberg. Colleges from Bowdoin in Maine to Pitzer in California dropped the SAT entrance exam as a requirement, saying it favors the affluent, penalizes minorities, and doesn't predict academic success. What they don't advertise is they find future students by buying names of, they say kids, I say students, who do well on the tests. That's right. They market the names, folks, of the young people that take these tests. Pitzer buys as many as 100,000 names a year based on test scores from the College Board, owner of the SAT, College Board. Sounds official, doesn't it? Kind of like the Federal Reserve. The College Board, owner of the SAT. They sell names. To search for applicants, even after the school became test optional in 2003-2004, Wake Forest University, which stopped requiring the SAT or the rival ACT test for students entering in 2009, also buys names, as does Bowdoin, which made scores optional in 1969. Students are being duped by some schools into thinking that the test scores don't matter when they matter a great deal for marketing, outreach, and prestige, said Leon Bolstein, president of Bard College in Annandale on the Hudson, New York, which neither requires the test nor buys names. Test optional colleges that buy names of high-scoring students are hypocritical, he said, quote, they take a stance that looks principled, but it's strategic, Bolstein said in an interview, quote, they say I'm going to show myself to be open, but in reality, they're completely buying into the definition of a good student that is guided by the test, close quote. Well, there's more to that story. But we have great deficiencies in our educational system in these SAT and ACT tests. This idea of teaching to the test has got to go. But the colleges, academia, higher ed, and private ed, they market the lists, the names of the young people that have taken these courses, and then they proselytize their schools to them. Georgia Citizen Panel will find immigration crackdown laggards. Margaret Newkirk writing this one for Bloomberg. Georgia mayors, county commissioners, and even business licensee clerks may face $5,000 fines from a panel of state-sanctioned volunteers empowered to investigate complaints about compliance with a new immigration law. That's right. The people have become in vocal local, taking the power back in Georgia. The board will be able to subpoena witnesses and strip funding from public bodies it finds to have violated the law and levy fines against governments and individuals. The first of its kind Immigration Enforcement Review Board is part of a law that took effect July the 1st, making Georgia one of six states that have taken immigration enforcement duties into their own hands. To date, the law has provoked a federal lawsuit, a court injunction, and a shortage of fruit and vegetable pickers in Georgia's harvest season. How much of them Georgia peaches, huh? I guess Whitey's going to have to pick them peaches. The enforcement board's job is to keep government officials in line. Quote, this is a radical privatization of government power, said Charles Cut. Of course, they don't mention that government hasn't been enforcing immigration power for a long time. Maybe it's about time the people took it away from them, said Charles Cook. It sounds like an Irish Celtic to me. A lawyer who is part of a legal team challenging the law, quote, there was no evidence presented, nor even anecdotal evidence, that there was a problem that needed to be solved. Well, Charles, get your head out of your cuck, okay? The board is unique to Georgia, not duplicated in the other five states, Arizona, Utah, Indiana, Alabama, and South Carolina, that have also enacted immigration laws. Its members will be appointed by Governor Nathan Deal, Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle, and David Ralston, Speaker of the House of Representatives. Members will be unpaid, and the law sets no eligibility standards. So if you got the cojones, you can step up to the plate and start fining your local elected officials for continuing to pander after the illegal aliens. China, this morning, new news, edges out U.S. as the top British Columbia lumber customer. That's right. Smaller sawmills back in operation to meet the new demand for B.C. lumber. So where's it going? China. That's right. Mike Hager writing this one for the Vancouver Sun. Here's the article. For the first time, British Columbia companies are making more money from the wood they send to China than from shipments heading south of the border. May's British Columbia softwood lumber shipments to China, including Hong Kong, were valued at $122 million, relatively a drop in the bucket, but not bad for these guys, compared to $119 million in shipments to the U.S.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network. TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Well, so that just about wraps it up for the news basket. One more little article here out of the Barry County Advertiser. This is a local newspaper, folks, Small Town America. The issue goes out to 13,200 homes in Barry County. This is the Wednesday, July the 13th issue, 2011, front page article. Barry County sees sales tax revenues decline. Right? All across America, small town America, pretty much a standard fare. Barry County sales tax revenues are down 8%. 8% from this time last year. It's bringing home far less bacon. Small town America, little stores, moms and pops, and all of that. Down 8%. And then it goes through and it lists the other towns, the small towns, none of them doing any good, you know. But that's the big deal there for the news. And so we'll just pass on that and continue along. Again, tomorrow, Ilya Zlobin will be joining us in the first hour. He's the sponsor on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, TrustedCoins.com. Might jump up on his website, grouse around a little bit, develop some questions. I hope we'll be able to welcome him not only as a sponsor to the network, but also to get to the bottom of this idea of these trusted coins, you know. Is there any gold there? Is there any silver there? Do they have any real value? Or are these just opinion coins? And I've broached that question to him, and we're going to talk about that. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I'm going to learn something new. Security exchanges, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, just briefly. They're back into our book, The Introduction to Business by Gloss and Baker. This guy Gloss, if you find, do a web search on him, apparently he's got became very influential in his life. There's also some really classic old, short newsreel type videos that you can watch and find out a little bit more about that he produced. But anyway, security exchanges and financial news, all right? We talk about financial news here every day, read off the Bloomberg website, look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500. Well, this is shared with you yesterday. We're going to continue again in review Chapter 20 out of this 1967 Intro to Business collegiate textbook. Every working day, millions of shares of stock changes hands on and off the security exchanges. So such as it was in 1967, so as it continues today, current stock prices are of considerable interest to businessmen, investors, speculators, and a substantial segment of the generally dumb public. All right? The ups and downs of the stock market reflect the optimistic and pessimistic views of buyers and sellers of shares and constitute an important barometer of current and anticipated business conditions. The widespread interest in the stock market is reflected, now notice, is reflected in the space devoted by almost all daily papers to reporting sales and prices and TV and radio stations, including Oracle, Become Vocal Local, including similar information in their news broadcasts. All right? But this is important, because if it wasn't for the PR effort that went on, would the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the NASDAQ, and the S&P continue to function? I think not. I think that most of the interest and most of the attention there comes out of everybody thinking that they're special when they're riding the bus or in a carpool in the morning and they have their New York slime open and they're looking at the stocks and they're checking to see how badly they did this morning. Metropolitan newspapers usually print full details concerning transactions on the New York Stock Exchange. Of course, the New York Stock Exchange Euronext is merging with the Deutsche Börse. That's happening. And some carry news about stocks traded on other exchanges or in the over-the-counter market. And what's important about this book, and certainly in this particular chapter 20 year, is that it really gets into some of the nuts and bolts, the nitty-gritty of how all of this works and how it sometimes will not work. But anyway, events affecting the finances of individual corporations, such as contract awards, new security issues, and dividend declarations, are promptly reported. Items of general interest to the financial world, as, for example, changes in interest rates or government financing, are considered newsworthy. So we talk about the 2-year bonds, the 10 years and the 30s, the 15-year mortgages and the 30-year mortgages. This chapter will examine security exchanges in some detail, and it does, because an understanding of them is necessary for an appreciation of the important role they play in the financial world. You see, you saw this plank off. You saw off old Goliath at the ankles there, and then little David could push him over with a pebble cast from a sling. Attention will be given to the extensive state and federal regulation of security sales. Government, big gov involved in all this. Further details about stock and bond quotations and averages will be provided, along with mentions of other types of financial news. Emphasis will be placed on the interpretation and use of such information by the business world. And I have to say that in this textbook, now I'm in page 435, I'm very nearly at the end of this. This is like 690 pages here, very nearly end of the book, and it's been a great read. I've enjoyed taking this course, and I've learned plenty. But what I think is important here is that even in the process of teaching business, the studentia, les students, is being indoctrinated into these various and sundry avenues of thought. Why? Because it's absolutely essential to keep up this system. Without this, it doesn't fly. Security exchanges. A security exchange, commonly called a stock exchange, is an organization that provides facilities for its members to buy and sell securities. All right? It is usually organized as an unincorporated association, so it's not a corporation, so to speak. It's unincorporated. What are you going to do about the New York Stock Exchange? It's an unincorporated association. It's a type of business ownership. discussed in Chapter 4, and it was. Membership fees are charged, and dues of or assessments cover the expenses of the operation. The members elect a board of governors, who in turn elect officers, including a president. The officers employ the necessary personnel to operate the exchange. And we could say much the same about FedGov, Washington, D.C. The most famous and the largest of the security exchanges, the New York Stock Exchange, again, this is 1967, has a limited membership of 1,375. Now, I went around and around and around on the Internet trying to find out why that number was important, why they limited it to 1,375, added the numbers together, divided it by every combination, square-rooted everything. I couldn't come up with, you know, 666 hidden in there anyplace. How the hell they came up with 1,375 is beyond me. But the members are individuals, many of them partners in brokerage firms. A membership is called a seat. A guy buys a seat. He buys a seat on the New York Stock Exchange, and it can be sold if prospective purchaser has been approved by the Board of Governors of the exchange. So once you buy in, you can only sell out if they approve yourself. The price on these seats has been as low as $17,000, now again these are 1967 dollars, and as high as $625,000 within the present century, although recently the range has been between $150,000 and $250,000 to buy a seat on the exchange in 1967. The stocks and bonds that have been approved for trading, notice, been approved for trading by security exchanges are listed securities. The New York Stock Exchange lists approximately 1,500 stocks and 1,100 bond issues, and transactions in more than 1,250 different stocks are completed daily. The American Stock Exchange in New York, the Midwest Stock Exchange in Chicago, are two other fairly large security exchanges. It should be noted that the stock of many publicly held corporations is not listed on any exchange, either because the company does not qualify for this privilege, it's a privilege, not a right, not a duty, it's a privilege, or because it prefers not to meet the necessary requirements. The New York Stock Exchange, for example, will not grant an application for a listing unless the corporation, in addition to securing approval from the Securities and Exchange Commission, meets the following standards. Okay, so you open up your New York Times, your Wall Street Journal, and you're looking at these stock companies. They have to meet at least these following standards as of 1967. The company must have 1 million shares outstanding, of which 700,000 must be publicly held. There must be at least 2,000 shareholders, of whom 1,700 must each own at least 100 shares. Annual earnings should exceed $2 million before taxes, and the common stock publicly held must have a minimum market value of $12 million. Again, all those dollar amounts in 1967. The operation of a security exchange. A description of the operation of the security exchange insofar as the general public is concerned will clarify the usefulness of this type of financial institution. So I'm just encouraging you to take a look at it, all right? Just giving you a brief intro here. The chief function is to do what? Provide a convenient means by which individuals and organizations can buy or sell stocks of well-known corporate enterprises. Well-known corporate enterprises like General Electric, etc. A security exchange is not a source of capital to the corporation that has its stocks and bonds listed. These securities have already been sold, usually through investment banks, and subsequent sales that take place on a stock exchange are between such diverse security holders as individuals, corporations, banks, insurance companies, pension funds, investment trusts, churches, hospitals, trust funds, and endowment funds. Well, we'll be right back.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait.
There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Verki Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Verki dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Verki Guy offers amazing specials for Verki Water Filtration Systems. The Verki Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Verki Light System today, complete with two black Verki elements for only $231, and the Verki Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Verki Light, the Verki Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Verki Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So back into our textbook here, Security Exchanges and Financial News, Chapter 20, Intro to Business. And I mean, why not? Widen the hem of our garment a little bit here. We hear about all this stuff in the news every day, trying to figure it out, make sense out of it. These bankster gangsters destroying everything that we ever held dear and sacred. Anyway, this is important. You might remember Clint Richardson's book, you know, Corporation Nation. But again, these securities have already sold. They've already been sold, usually through an investment bank. Subsequent sales that take place on a stock exchange are between such diverse security holders. Just listen to this list. Individuals, corporations, banks. Now, banks are corporations. Individuals are sometimes considered corporations. Insurance companies, that's a corporation. Pension funds, that's a corporation. Investment trusts, those are typically corporations. Churches, they're incorporated. Hospitals, they're incorporated and tax subsidized. Trust funds, incorporated. And endowment funds, incorporated. Well, big corporation nation, all right? They're all out there on the stock market. For every buyer, there must be a seller. We've said that before. There's two sides to every sale. There's a buyer and a seller, right? Do we have the price of gold going up and up and up and up? Well, there's got to be somebody that's selling gold at those prices to get a price rise like that. Got to be a buyer, got to be a seller, two sides to every deal. The statement that everybody's buying stock merely means that the demand is greater than the supply, with a resultant increase in prices. And so we went back and we talked about that. Equilibrium theory, supply and demand. When an investor thinks a stock is going up in price, he would not be able to buy if a security holder did not believe it was a good time to sell or had to dispose of his holdings for other reasons. All right? You think you're going to get someplace with your stockbroker? He's got somebody in mind that wants to sell. The only way you can buy is if somebody's going to sell. All right? So are you smarter than the guy that's selling? Maybe he's on the inside track. Oh, maybe his name's Harry S. Reid. He's got the scoop from Obama. Yeah. Anyway, conversely, even in a severely depressed market, I guess that would sum up America today, even in a severely depressed market, there is always a buyer if the seller is willing to accept his offering price. All right? What is the real price of anything? It's the lowest price that a seller will accept and the highest price a buyer will offer. Okay. And then it continues, talks about trading procedures and so on and so forth. I thought this would be rather interesting, just a couple of paragraphs. In order to buy stocks, how does it work? How does it work? Everybody's seen the picture. You know, the guys walk around, they've got their jackets. I read an article the other day where there was a guy who was a trader, on floor trader, and, you know, he retired and all that, and then he died, and they auctioned off of his jacket, all right? Well, his jacket's got this number on it. You guys see the picture? They got a number on him. Well, everybody knows who the guy is because of the number in his jacket, right? All right, anyway, big deal, right? In order to buy stocks on an exchange, regardless of the residence of the potential investor, the residence, key phrase there, key word, is routed to the trading floor. Okay, these are all the guys that are down there, and they got all the screens around them, and they're shouting and waving their hands, right? Here it is given to a member of the exchange, usually a partner in the same brokerage firm patronized by the buyer. Remember, this is a member of the exchange. These guys pay anywhere from, oh, I don't know, as low as $17,000 to as high as $625,000, with the average place being between $150,000 and $250,000. I'll say it again. In order to buy stocks on an exchange, regardless of the residence of the potential investor, is routed to the trading floor. Here it is given to a member of the exchange, usually a partner in the same brokerage firm patronized by the buyer. On the floor of the exchange, there are a number of trading posts. How log cabin-y can you get, at which a specified list of stocks are bought and sold. If the order placed by the investor is for 100 shares of common stock of United States Steel Corporation, the member locates the post and makes an offer to buy under the terms specified. This might be at, quote-unquote, at the market, the current price at which the stock is being sold, in which case the order would probably be filled immediately because someone is always ready to sell if his offering price is accepted. If a limited order is given, such as a $50 a share, and the stock is selling at $55, the member leaves the order with another broker who spends most of his time at one post and is known as a specialist because he concentrates his attention on a limited number of securities. The specialist makes a memorandum of the order, and you see them all out there tippy-tapping around on their little iPads and whatnot. The specialist makes a memorandum of the order, and if at a later time in the day, or at a later date an offer is made to sell U.S. Steel shares at $50, he executes that order. All right? Trading is conducted in round lots that are normally 100 share units. If the order is for 25 shares, it's placed by the member with an odd lot broker, who makes a specialty of handling such orders, for which he receives a special commission. By grouping several odd lot orders, you may be able to buy one or more of the round lots, which are distributed to the several purchases, or he may purchase the additional shares for his own account. All right? And so then it just goes on and on. Let's see if we got anything else of interest here in our discussion. Pull back a little bit. The regulation of commercial banks. You know, everybody's talking about state banks. You know, got to get rid of the Fed, end the Fed. Well, the Fed does serve a purpose. And it's a purpose that we need to address, even if we went to a system of state banks. Commercial banks are regulated by the federal government or by the state, depending in part on whether they are national or state banks. Actually, the federal government plays the more important part because many state banks, as well as all the national banks, belong to the Federal Reserve. Now, you see, the federal government, Federal Reserve, even here in University College, is being confused. They're not telling you that this Federal Reserve System is a private corporation. And to the Federal Deposit Insurance Company, that'd be FDIC, probably not any more federal than the Federal Reserve, and must follow procedures prescribed by these agencies. Of course, the Federal Reserve System is not an agency. It's a private company. Other regulations are administered by the comptroller of the currency for national banks and by state bank examiners for the state banks. Of primary importance to the depositors is the fact that all banks are examined periodically. Right. By federal or state auditors who make a careful study of the financial condition of the bank and report any irregularities to the proper government officials who are busy watching pornography on their laptops. These examiners make unannounced visits. Wow, that's frightening. So that the officers and the employees do not have a chance to cover up their laptops. Oh. So they do not have a chance to cover up any discrepancies or errors of poor judgment. Any irregularities that are discovered by the examiners must be corrected promptly or action will be taken against the bank by the proper federal or state banking officials. If we had any officials. The Federal Reserve System is a powerful, now here we go, independent, and then they say federal agency that has considerable influence on commercial banking. So they were great when they said powerful, independent, that's for sure, but federal agency? Really? There are 12 Federal Reserve banks distributed geographically over the United States, and these banks have branches, such as the Pittsburgh and Cincinnati branches of the Cleveland Federal Reserve Bank. Member banks obtain from the Federal Reserve Bank the currency that they pay out. That's your toxic waste, Federal Reserve note. And they are permitted to discount certain notes and drafts that they have accepted from their customers, the discount rate, in much the same manner as the original transactions. These notes and drafts, as well as bills of exchange and bankers' acceptances, are known as eligible paper. Now, of course, this book has already discussed all of these in detail. And the rate of interest charged for discounting eligible paper is known as the rediscount rate. One of the important factors of a Federal Reserve Bank is clearing inter-district and intra-district checks for its members. And this is the very important part. If a check that is drawn on a bank in San Francisco is deposited in a Chicago bank, it must be sent to the bank in California for collection. This process is known as clearing a check and is handled by the two district Federal Reserve banks involved, the one in Chicago and the one in San Francisco. Or if a check is received by a bank in San Antonio, Texas, drawn on our bank in Houston, Texas, it'll be cleared by the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank, as both of the other cities are located in the Dallas district. Now, at this time, the time of the writing of this book, computing was just coming on board. They were still using punch cards and things like that, but they were definitely way out there into computing in their day. Of numerous regulations, so they're painting a picture of your check is floating back and forth, flying from here to here and here to here. But you always get your checks back, remember that, and your bank is the one that sends it back to you, and probably your check never left the bank. Anyway, of numerous regulations emanating from the Federal Reserve System and other governmental agencies, and other governmental agencies, as if the Federal Reserve System was a governmental agency, two are of particular concern to businesses. One of these is the restriction on the amount that may be loaned to any one firm to 10% of the total capital stock and undivided profits of the lending bank. Another is a prohibition against paying interest on demand deposits or checking accounts as they are usually known. Well, that's it for the first hour. We'll be right back. Hour number two, straight ahead.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the revolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to teamspeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is teamspeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. teamspeak.cc. Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, July the 19th, 2011, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, coming at you live right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, you can log on and bookmark our chat room, becomevocallocal.com. You won't find much else on my website, but there is a chat room available for you to interact with the other listeners throughout the broadcast. And if you're really nice and ask 10K Puddles in the chat room, if you can get put on his email list, he'll send you out a bunch of links that he drops into the chat throughout the broadcast that I'm confident you too will find very interesting, many people on that list. But in the first hour of today's broadcast, went into some news. Finances, business, you know. Hey, look, as the people are the state, and the state then forms a government, and as the governments all operate as corporations, any study of political science that is devoid or not paired up with an adequate study of business is going to leave us ill-prepared to be that replacement set that we so desperately need as we move into the 21st century. Governments being instituted among men to secure the blessing of the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If we don't know how government is operated, or at least ought to be operated, then we'll be in the same quandary that Congress finds themselves now when they're trying to figure out how many zeros are in a trillion. Most of them probably don't know without cue cards. Anyhow, so earlier in the week, last week, we started this series on who is, you know, Henry St. Simon, who is Auguste Comte, why do we care, what is positivism, how is it important, how long has it been around, what kind of influence is it having on our lives on a day-to-day basis, what do we know and what can we know about technocracy and the techno-totalitarianism that exists in the planet today? And so we're just going through this book, an interesting book, one of the best ones I have on Henry St. Simon, The New World of Henry St. Simon by Frank E. Manuel here in our little internet homeschool classroom. Bit by bit by bit, just going from places that I've bookmarked and underlined and cross-referenced and various and sundries, as I want to do. Sharing with you just a little bit of the mind of who this guy is. Now, you might have gone through 4 years of college, maybe you hit six or eight. Maybe you're piled high and deep and you got a doctorate, but you never heard of St. Simon before. Well, I'm sorry. We're going to blow that apart today and continue our discussion. But it's not surprising. Very few people even know what positivism is or who founded it or what impact it might have on we the people. But Madame de Radern was in a state of nervous excitation over Saint-Simon's intrigues with local notables, and the Count wrote again on July the 1st of 1812. Let's put the date up there on the tote board. July the 1st of 1812. So here we are in July the 1st of 2011, basically 200 years distant from the time that this man existed. Of course, July the 1st, 1812, but, you know, from 1776 to 1812, let's see, that would be 76, would make it 24 plus, that's 36 years. 36 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Claude Henry de Rouvroy Saint-Simon, present during the War for Independence, Yorktown battle, manning a battery of French mortars. But again, the Count wrote on July the 1st of 1812, to comfort her with philosophy to minimize the significance of an abusive memorandum which he believed Saint-Simon had circulated privately among eager gossips of the district. And here's the quote. What disturbs me very much is your stomach trouble. It is this beastly memorandum of Mr. St. Simon which is causing it. This man has kept you in an agitated state ever since he arrived in Alencon. Really, my dear, it's nothing to be troubled over. There are passing things. Pick up that quote right after this break. Stay tuned.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers. From LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, we've returned on our Tuesday, July the 19th broadcast, going into St. Simon again now, the philosophical apprenticeship, the climacteric, if you will, out of this interesting book written by Frank Emanuel. This book is heavily noted, notated. There are very little of conjecture here, but he does fill in a lot of the gaps. But there's a lot of material here that you can take, just as any good encyclopedia will lead you out into many more. This good textbook that we've been referring to, also at the end of every chapter, it's just loaded with, you know, bibliographical material that you can go away then and study even deeper and go into greater detail on all these parts and pieces. But he names his names and he names and he gives his sources. I just started into a brief quote. It's rather anticlimactic. I won't continue with that quote much longer, but we're talking about this guy, Radern, and he was originally kind of a partner with Claude Henri de Verroy, Saint Simon, or Bonhomme. But they had a falling out, just much the same as was going to happen later with Auguste Comte. But they split on principle. The memorandum had, though printed, had not been published. In it, St. Simon presented the quarrel between himself and his former partner, and this would be Mr. Redern, R-E-D-E-R-N, Redern, I'll say it that way, Redern. In it, St. Simon presented the quarrel between himself and his former partner as essentially philosophic. When they'd made their money, they had a dispute about the wisest method of utilizing it. So remember, he was into purchasing properties that had been seized from the nobility and from the church. Made a lot of money that way, honey. And again, July the 1st of 1812 puts him about exactly the same number of years advanced from the Declaration of Independence as it is from the day I was sitting up on a second-story fire escape looking out over whichever river it is as the tall ships were sailing into New York and looking out on the Statue of Liberty and anticipating on the July the 4th the fireworks that were going to be displayed from a barge out there. So just exactly the same number of years advanced from the time of this writing, this letter that we're discussing here, in St. Simon's life from the Declaration to this date in July the 1st of 1812, virtually it's the same from 1776 to 1976. 1976, I'm out there for the bicentennial in New York City. Same sort of time lag. And I can appreciate the time difference there because much has happened and much water has gone under the bridge for me, and I have become more and more and more convinced that we absolutely have to get seriously busy about restoring our constitutional limited republican form of representative government and abolishing the established two-party political system, or this whole charade is going up in smoke. But here they had a problem between Redern and St. Simon. Redern had given himself up to practical philosophy. St. Simon launched upon a philosophical career, right? Practical philosophy versus a philosophical career. Redern had thought that he had discovered the principle of absolute good and had only to apply them. So we talk about the greatest good of the greatest number. We talk about the happiness principle, all right? And at this time period in history, back in 1812, Redern was busy on that. St. Simon thought that the general theory of philosophy and science was lagging far behind particular studies and needed the attention of scholars. Again, the general theory of philosophy and science. St. Simon now appealed to his partner to abandon his false direction, immersion in practical affairs, which was only doing harm to himself, to St. Simon and to all their friends, if he would but return to participate in the execution of their original philanthropic project. Quote, Redern is very methodical, but his principles are wrong. A private person has only one way of being directly useful to the species. That is, to work towards the progress of the sciences and the arts. Close quote. So again, we have a window into the mindset of Henry St. Simon, that the only useful thing to do is to look towards and work towards the progress of science and the arts, turning away from a lot of things that are theological here. This summons to the path of philosophic and philanthropic virtue was then prepped by scurrilous accusations. Redern had been a traitor to Prussia, for he drew his money out of his native land. Obviously, the man is Prussian. He married a woman who could bear no children. He was so stingy that he refused to help his own relatives. People in the Orne did not love him, especially since he was trying to grab up the property of his neighbors. He was brutal towards the poor. Get this now. He was a member of the occult sect of the Illuminati, believing in direct, continuous relations between himself and God. Again, this is 1812. A discussion, brief as it is, of the Illuminati by name, in direct and continuous relationships between himself and God. His avarice was inherited from his father, whose penny pinching was proverbial in Prussia. And then I'll drop down a bit. In the 15th century, education was still predominantly theological. Then Latin and Greek authors became the core of the curriculum. Now, we've talked briefly about the trivium and the quadrivium. But in the 15th century, education was still predominantly theological. Then Latin and Greek authors became the core of the curriculum. Under Louis XV, physical and mathematical sciences were introduced, and literature became a pastime. In his own day, he witnessed physics, chemistry, and natural history occupying an ever more significant role in general studies. The next stage would be the introduction of physiology, the last of the great sciences, into the educational system. In the works of the famous anatomist, he found the, and he gives the name, but I can't pronounce it, he found the psychological explanation for the reluctance of contemporary education to admit the new science of physiology. We're adding in more and more planks to our knowledge bank. Different branches of education coming on board. Some other things like literature being put in the background. Here's a quote. Without doubt, it is repugnant to man to see his extermination so close at hand. He flees this spectacle, and he chooses to ignore himself rather than to inflict himself with so much horror. Physiology. How does the body work? How does the mind work? How does this all come together? Of course, as we go continuously further into the study of positivism, this will become more important. But again, he's looking at his own body with horror. His own extermination is repugnant to him. It was St. Simon's lofty mission to overcome this squeamishness through the establishment of an educational institution in which physiology would take its place beside the other physical sciences and literature. Then popular education would be completely, quote-unquote, positive. We're talking about positivism and the positive sciences. And the whole structure would be crowned with a positive philosophy. All right, so he's looking forward to what would be the great works of Auguste Comte. The system of positive philosophy, the system of positive polity, and the universal religion of humanity. Psychology, too, would figure among the positive studies, not the conjectural psychology of the standard metaphysical systems, but the psychological psychology, an integral branch of general physiology. Now, we'll be back with more right after this.
Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
And so just skipping ahead a bit further now, I'm coming into a time where St. Simon is going to have a nervous breakdown, mental breakdown, as so many of these philosophers do. Anyway, we'll skip the gory details about his time in the sanatorium. But this is back and forthery between himself and his former partner, this guy Radarin, while they were still trying to stay together in their philosophical adventures, all right? But again, M.D. Saint-Simon has come from Paris to Alcon, A-L-N-C-O-N, has a little thing on the bottom of the sea, to summarize his scientific ideas. His science was properly evaluated at Paris. The same will happen just as promptly at Alcon, maybe. I don't know. After having re-educated himself, he intends to reform mankind. He means to launch all the evidence of the Orne on the study of physiology and physiological psychology, a new science, whereby he would explain our intellectual functions mechanically, with the result that the soul would be thrust aside along with the idea of God. And this is relatively new stuff now, and it's going to continue throughout all of the study. What we're doing is we're transitioning from a belief in a God to a belief in scientific materialism. Science is the new God to the technocrat. All right. Then jumping forward, later in the same year, Saint-Simon left Bell Holmes, and in lodgings in Paris, he managed to piece together two of his strangest writings, the Memoir of Science of Man, the Memoir of the Science of Man. I'm just translating quickly from French. Not really good at the language, studied a bit, the most important of his empire works, and even the more eccentric Travail of the Universal Gravitation, both of which were laboriously copied by hand for limited circulation. Penniless again, hardly recuperated from his depression, he tried frenetically to arouse the scientific conscience of Europe to its sacred mission to end the European crisis. In these works, he had written down the great truths which, if comprehended by the emperor and the leaders of the Europeans, a science would call a dramatic halt again to the massacre of millions of men on the battlefields of Europe. All Europe, again from yesterday, is slaughtering itself. He cried out to the scientists of the world, "What are you doing to stop this butchery?" "Nothing. What am I saying? It is you who perfect the means of destruction." So, you know, gentlemen, your materials are disorder, and from these you must create order, and so on. Now, from 1807 through 1813, Saint-Simon, produced some half dozen opuscules. Their contents were repetitious, their form disorganized, their factual data often fanciful. Even their purported direct quotations from scientists and philosophers were inaccurate. Of course, there's lots of websites out there that you could use as this as an absolute description of. These are the outpourings of a man who suffered from intermittent fits of a mental disorder. And any attempt to make rigidly consistent the many peculiar and variant formulations of his ideas would be observed. Yet, in the history of thought, these writings cannot be dismissed, because for all of their exasperating confusion, they constitute the first version of a socio-philosophical system which gained broad acceptance on the European continent, and, I have to add, bled over to the U.S., to our colonies. It was the fevered brain of St. Simon that positivism had its hectic inception. Most important of his empire works, and it goes on, talks about it, the works of this period are particularly significant in the history of positivism, just as the works of the Restoration are of paramount interest in the history of Marxism. So you're not going to slice and dice with positivism and Marxism. They are related. Professor Guyer's study has argued learnedly that Auguste Comte did not need St. Simon to develop his great philosophical structure, that St. Simon's ideas were commonplaces by the time he met his most famous disciple in 1817. Any such bald formula, however, must disregard those vital passages of the Memoirs of the Science of Man in 1813, written when Comte was still a boy, which compressed the essence of positivism into capsule form. So we can't walk away from St. Simon and give all the credit of positivism to Auguste Comte. As much of the kernel, if you will, the grain, was written by St. Simon while Auguste Comte was still in his short pants. St. Simon conceived of himself as a rebel against the simple mechanism, the atomism, the critical and destructive character of 18th century thought. His system would create a new conception of unity and organic growth for mankind. But for all his reaction against the philosophes, he was still steeped in their psychology and their epistemology. His empire writings are typical works of the intellectual transition. The old conceptions had not yet worn off. The novel ideas had not yet assumed coherent form. So we're at a tipping point, if you will, of the mental development that was happening at the same time that science and technologies and the manual arts were receiving their great stimulus in the Industrial Revolution. Simultaneous. You know, you're going through King Steam on the one hand, and on the other hand, you're coming into a new period of thought. You can call it the Enlightenment, if you wish. As a total coordinated system, and this is important, systems theory. I mean, we can talk about invoke Richard Buckminster Fuller here if we want to. But as a total coordinated system, St. Simon's positive philosophy was a dismal failure. This was something he was incapable of mentally. This is where Auguste Comte shined on. He kept hailing the system, and yet it never appeared. But there is more intellectual validity in his early writings than the cursory reader is likely to discern. It was the misfortune of the man who was always weaving theories about the need for order, for systematization, for the integration of all physical and moral sciences, that he could draft a logical, orderly paragraph only with the greatest of difficulty. Now, if we jump across the pond and pick up the thread of Jeremy Bentham over there in England, and James Mill, and John Austin, and the positivists that were forming on that side, and understand that the philosophical radicalism going on in England was paralleling about in the same time period as what was going on over here in France, we can see that we're working towards the same kinds of ends. But as St. Simon was not a logician, he hadn't studied the trivium too well, is that he was not a logician and needed the mathematical skills and the organizational skills of Auguste Comte, the absolute opposite, which could be said is true, with Jeremy Bentham and James Mill, and later John Stuart Mill. All right, these guys were in a whole different league. or I could say in a much, much different league. Continuing, he was a conversationalist who could not learn how to write. All right? St. Simon. He needed a collaborator, someone to unify his flashes of insight on organic unity. Now, as I mentioned, regarding the trivium, overemphasis on tools does not necessarily, no matter how you add to your toolbox, does not necessarily add that creative spark that brings out the genius of man. You can have all the tools in the toolbox and still be incapable of fulfilling the work.
To the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio. TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so back in and continuing from the Monist Principle, another chapter, chapter 8 in this text, the In Search of a Monist Principle, M-O-N-I-S-T, talking about Henry St. Simon. Again, he needed a collaborator, someone to unify his flashes of insight on organic unity, to draw out their significance, to develop them with illuminating detail. Now note this, interesting comments here. St. Simon did not have Bentham's psychopathic horror of the printed word. Psychopathic horror of the printed word. Jeremy Bentham was loath to write things down, but he had a good team. And St. Simon lacked the team but he would write anything, even if it was ultimately embarrassing. But this is, one of the reasons, I'm sharing this particular book with you is because this book gives you the names that you need to have to find out more about what's going on. This Frank E. Manuel, The New World of Henry St. Simon, loads you up. And for those who have their antennas of discernment run all the way to the top, as I like to say, lead me into all truth and keep me from error. We need these other names because we're talking about something that happened a long time ago and's pretty well been put under the bushel basket. But continuing, St. Simon didn't have Bentham's psychopathic horror of the printed word. Alas, he had the opposite vice and would publish even the half-digested notions which occurred to him in the night. Now, with the Restoration, that's capital R. We had the Empire period and the Restoration. We're talking about the French Revolution and all that time period. With the Restoration, he would find a series of young men. Now, this is the beginning of the Saint-Simonians. A series of young men to help with the exposition of the writing of his ideas while they were still in a formative stage. And a brilliant group they were. Now, for all those that, are Johnny on the spot, here's the list. Augustine Thierry. It's T-H-I-E-R-R-Y. Augustine. Like it sounds, Thierry. T-H-I-E-R-R-Y. Auguste Comte. Olinde Rodriguez. O-L-I-N-D-E. Rodriguez. R-O-D-R-I-G-U-E-S. Now that's French central banking right there. Dead on the spot. Leon Halevy. Halevy, Leon Halevy, H-A-L-E-V-Y, a cantor, Jewish synagogue. All right, interesting little group. During the Empire, he was alone, isolated, secretly tormented by a sense of inadequacy at the very moment when he was proclaiming his genius most vociferously, yet the system could not be contained within him, the system. It had to find expression, whatever its external habit. Although at times his empire writing was compulsive like that of a deranged man, there was always a core of brilliant, rational, conceptual patterns which reformed themselves even after the most violent attacks of mental disturbance. The system reasserted itself. There are some things that your mind, you just can't contain it. It's going to come out. And it continues. A system, here's the definition. Here's the definition. A system is nothing but the disposition of the various parts of an art or a science in such an order that they mutually sustain one another and that the latter parts are explained by the earlier. Those elements which explain others are called principles, and the system is the more perfect as the principles are smaller in number. It is even desirable that they be reduced to one. Now here we have the word sustain being used. We're using system. United Nations Agenda 21, the program of action for sustainable development. It's a system. S-Y-S-T-E-M-M-E. And here we have Henry St. Simon's definition of system back about 1816. The monist element of the definition had not been the nub of the Condillac philosophy. I think this is Condillac's definition, actually. And his orthodox ideologue followers were leery of a first principle as smacking of metaphysics and religion. But in St. Simon's dream of science, the quest for a single principle became obsessive. Once discovered, the monist principle would demonstrate the essential unity of the phenomenal in world in all its manifestations. Now, this use of the term phenomenology is another that you can look up. And some attribute phenomenology and the study thereof to Auguste Comte, to Henry St. Simon. There is a Dr. Cabanis, not cannabis, but Cabanis, in papers delivered before the Institute, dilated upon the interrelationships of the physical and the moral in man, had mused about the essential unity of science. the unity of science, as his master Bacon had done almost 300 years before. Saint-Simon was afire with an ambition to outstrip the ideologues, to prove the actual unity of all material and spiritual existence in a world governed by one law, one irreducible principle. There's lots of people that have advanced these one irreducible principles. It took 66 books for the Hebrews to come up with their idea in the Bible. But Saint-Simon is looking for one irreducible principle. Some could say something along the line as from nothing, something. From something, or from nothing, something. Sum it all up right there. The sensationalists had shown that the real origin of ideas was in matter, and matter obeyed Newton's law. Why then should ideas be exempt from its dominion? Saint-Simon's fixation upon the law of gravity was not unique. When Charles Fourier, in 1808, used the phrase passionate attraction, to describe his new system, he declared that the laws of passionate attraction conformed at every point with those of the Newtonian material attraction. Everybody's heard about the laws of attraction, right? Well, now you know some of the sources. Charles Fourier, in 1808, passionate attraction. He, too, was proclaiming the unity of the system of movement for the material world and for the spiritual world. Is there any difference? Can there be a difference? Is everything embodied by the same? Is all materia embodied with the same spirit that some claim to be separate and have a spiritual world? Some people say that we are dealing with a spiritual war, spiritual warfare, as if somehow the spirit could be removed from the material. Interesting stuff. In the late 18th and early 19th centuries, literally scores of thinkers were hawking about similar catch-alls to explain the social universe and the physical universe and their overwhelming complexities with a word or a concept or a law or a principle. Of course, I recall your memory Thomas Paine's The Age of Reason as another attempt to grasp this idea. In 1808, simultaneously, the announcement of his vast project for a series of works coordinating all knowledge. And I took the time yesterday, rather staggeringly and briefly, to explain his idea of creating this master encyclopedia. It's the idea of trying to bring all of Philadelphus' library at Alexandria together once again in his time period. In 1808, simultaneously with the announcement of his vast project for a series of works coordinating all knowledge, Saint-Simon reaffirmed the Newtonian law as the single principle governing the entire world, the law of attraction. Universal gravity is the sole cause of all physical and moral phenomena. You can understand why the Christian right, if you could use such a term, would just as soon Saint-Simon would stay under the bushel basket. His ideas were a little bit disruptive to organized religion, even in his own day. When completed, his system would demonstrate that science was deducible step by step from this first principle and would show how it actually operated in practice in the various branches of knowledge, physical and moral. The Saint-Simon, the monist belief that all sciences must have the same underlying principle, was the logical conclusion of any conception of order and law in nature. And don't think that our founders were unaware of this when they said the laws of nature and nature's God. If individual sciences had different fundamental principles, nature would be in a state of anarchy. To imagine that moral phenomena had a cause distinct from that of physical phenomena showed a complete absence of philosophical understanding. We'll be right back.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Verki Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Verki dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Verki Guy offers amazing specials for Verki Water Filtration Systems. The Verki Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Verki Light System today, complete with two black Verki elements for only $231, and the Verki Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Verki Light, the Verki Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Verki Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Now, as you know, a monopolist can't stand competition, and one of the great monopolists of all time has been the Roman Catholic Church. No doubt about it. But as Claude-Henri Duverbroy Saint-Simon and his writings became more popular and widespread, he had the peculiar privilege, I guess, of having his writings placed on the Index Librorum Prohibitorum, the Index of Forbidden Books, the official list of books authoritatively forbidden to members of the Roman Catholic Church, together with the general rules of canon law which declare these classes of books forbidden, ipso jure, without specific mention. The exact origin of this legislation cannot be assigned with certainty. Scripture records the burning of superstitious books after the preaching of St. Paul at Ephesus. Early ecclesiastical condemnations of books are the Muratorian canon, giving the canon of the New Testament and condemning apocryphal books and so on at Nicaea and so on and so forth. And I'll spare you the rest of that. There's a lengthy study that you can look into on the Index of Forbidden Books, those books forbidden to those people who are in the Roman Catholic faith, and they took great umbrage with the liberty of Henry St. Simon. Back to the discussion. St. Simon was disturbed lest the newer sciences like physiology, which still lacked a broad general theory, fall into grave error at the outset by failing to adopt the same basic Newtonian law as the more developed physical, astronomic, and chemical sciences. And so now we're delving into the quadrivium heavily. For Saint Simon, philosophical understanding rested on the perception of oneness in nature. Oneness in nature. It's not the spirit of division, but oneness in nature. And that harkens back to an early Greek fellow we talked about in the past. His fragments, there's only, 64 lines? Heraclitus, I think it is. It's only 64 lines remaining, but he talked about the unity of all things. St. Simon, philosophical understanding rested on this perception of oneness in nature. By definition, a philosopher could not dispute the existence of a unifying principle. If one principle failed to embrace and explain the subsidiary laws in all the sciences, something would be grievously lacking either in the perfection of the principle or in the universe. Dropping down a bit further, the idea of universal gravity must serve as a base for the new philosophical theory, and the new political system of Europe must be a consequence of the new philosophy. In the same work, Francis Bacon was resurrected to address the members of the French Institute on the crying need for a monist principle. And we haven't time for the two-paragraph address, but it's very interesting. I'll give it just a bit. Do you want to organize, gentlemen? Nothing would be easier. Choose an idea to which others can be related and from which you would deduce all principles as consequences. Then you'll have a philosophy. This philosophy will certainly be based on the idea of universal gravity, and all your works will, from that moment on, assume a systematic character. The systems coming forth from the pen of St. Simon. St. Simon was always drawing parallels between the birth of Christianity and the inauguration of the new system in the 19th century. The crisis of the ancient world had witnessed a transition from many gods to one God. What did this signify? What was the clue to the development? The movement of thought from the many to the one, out of many, one, e pluribus unum. This was exactly what the modern intellectual revolution would achieve. The adoption of one principle, gravity, integrating a vast number of disparate and heretofore unrelated scientific laws, which had been accumulating since the inception of the scientific revolution. Like the 18th century philosophe, Simon was by no means emancipated from the monist spirit of Christianity. His application of the law of universal gravity to all phenomena, the conceit of an eccentric, quote, was an exaggeration of a widespread belief among his contemporaries. The search for a monist principle was a symptom of that bewilderment before an inexplicable universe which dazed Christian Europe when the full enormity of the Voltairean revolution had been realized. And, of course, the Council for National Policy recoiled from Voltaire. It's on their list of books to burn, I suppose. For 1,000 years, mankind had lived with unquestioning faith in the existence of a unifying principle in the world, talking about Christianity. The first full understanding of its destruction gave birth to scores of artificial and highly self-conscious attempts to substitute for the old religion a scientific principle or a moral principle or an emotional principle dressed up as God. The throne of the absolute could not be left untenanted, cannot be left open, cannot be left unoccupied. And so we see a little bit of an admixture here of masonry and the things that were coming on, the religion of science. And again, tomorrow, we'll be joined by Ilya Zlob, and on Thursday, we're going to go into the religion of science as we continue the study of St. Simon and put positivism firmly on the map. You're not only on Become Vocal Local, but on hopefully Internet Radio. So that we start to understand that an over-concentration on concepts like communism, socialism, Nazism, etc., might be better focused upon positivism. positivism, even though it hasn't had the seas of blood, it has underwritten all of those other isms. At the highest levels in science are positivists. In the past, we've talked about the obfuscatory linguistics of the logical positivist syntacticians, where words become mere symbols in a language game. And if you really want to know how the words are used, you have to be possessed of the meta-language, the language about the language. But for the positivist, they can dance in and out of this language game adroitly, possessed as they are in this pluralist world that we live in, with the meta-language. When someone says the President of the United States, you think something. But the individual that made the statement may think something entirely different. What he said may not be what he meant, nor even what he thought. It's just a symbol used in a language game for whatever purpose. And whether you're dealing with science or pseudosciences or political science or economy, what about green shoots? What about quantitative easing? What about redefining what is meant by inflation and deflation? We live in a time of when the logical positivists are operative, perhaps at their highest level. Do you think that law has been spared? I listen to lots of law broadcasts. Never is the word legal positivism mentioned. Legal positivism mentioned. Yet Anthony Seebach, in his book, Legal Positivism in American Jurisprudence, has quoted prominent names in Harvard and other places. Adherence, H.L.A. Hart comes to mind immediately. He was the editor of the edition of John Salmon's book. I can't remember the title right off the head. Anyway, he was the editor of the most recent edition of that. Positivism is on us, coming on us and at us all the time. We can think of simply the classical way of thinking of legal positivism is go all the way back to Machiavelli and before, that whatever the prince says has the full force and effect of law. It's okay for the TSA to grab your titties and give them a twist, but if you grab the TSA titty and give them a twist, it's a crime. Whatever the prince says has the full force and effect of law. We don't have to ask Congress to declare a war. The usurper just says so, and it's so. We have no regard for international law and international convention. Whatever Israel wants, Israel gets. The Zionists control the monetary system of the world, and so let it be so. They said it, so it is. We'll look at that idea of system as regards to religion on Thursday. Hope you'll be with us then. I'll be back then. And until the next time, good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
TeamSpeak.com.
ICC is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Does Ordinary Talk Radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.